know the lingo. They all laughing. I speak Spanish. Tacos. Enchiladas. That's pretty good, huh? Buenos dias. There you go. Buenos dias. All right. That's it. I've learned to know a name I highly treasure. Oh, how it thrills my spirit through and through. Oh, precious name beyond degree or measure. Oh, wondrous name of Him so kind and true. My heart is stirred whenever I think of Jesus, that blessed name which sets the captive free. The only name through which I find salvation, no name on earth has meant so much to me. That name still lives and will live on forever, while kings and kingdoms will forgotten be. Or rain will be beclouded never. That name still shines and shines eternally. My heart is stirred whenever I think of Jesus, and blessed name which sets the captive free. The only name through which I find salvation, no name on earth has meant so much to. Sing this final song, I want to encourage you to look at the books and tapes that we have in the back. I want to encourage you to get the video tapes. There's some Christian video tapes. Of course, I wouldn't have them if they wasn't Christian, Bible-based tapes that present the gospel, but in a very entertaining and somewhat humorous way in some cases. And I think it would be a real blessing, especially if you have little kids and this kind of thing. Or even if you have grandkids just a lot of uses. And I hope you look at the books back there. Boy, if you don't get good books to read, there's something wrong. It really is. Because if you're not reading good books, then you're probably spending your time doing something else that's not as wholesome. And you definitely want to read good Christian books. So everything on that table, without a doubt, is something that will help you. And it's something that would be an asset in your home. I also want to encourage you to pray for us, and I say us, I mean me and my family. My family doesn't travel with me a lot. The kids are in school at the Christian school that we have at my home church. And so it's just kind of hard to pull them out all the time. So every now and then they do travel with me. But this summer, we're going to be embarking on a mission, what we call our inner city initiative. And we're going to spend almost 2 months doing inner city work and preaching in inner city churches, mainly in New York and Philadelphia. So we'll be spending almost 2 months in those areas, and some churches that have just started and are not nearly as far along as this church is. Some of them don't even have a building yet and things like that. A couple of them do. But be praying for us that God will protect us. Boy, if you've ever been to New York City, you need to pray for protection, man. But pray that God will really bless and that those churches will see some progress and some growth and those pastors will be encouraged. We need inner city work. And you folks, I don't think, really realize what a blessing this church is to you and to this community. The average area in the city, and when we say inner city, we mean just that inside the city. That's where most of the established churches have gone away from. And the average city that you go in, there is no independent fundamental Baptist church in the city. And therefore, there's nearly always not any kind of outreach to people who live in the areas that many of you live in. And I want to tell you something. It's a blessing. You know, God loved you when he sent Pastor Hoover to this area to start this church. You see, God was loving you and loving these people. I grew up in Gary, Indiana, and there's not a church in Gary, Indiana that I could recommend anybody to go to. Not a church. And that's a city of anywhere from 150 to 180,000 people. Probably 90% black and Hispanic. See? No outreach. And there's city after city in America like that. And we ought to be burdened about inner cities and inner city works. And we ought to pray that God would do in places like Gary and New York and all over the country what he's done here. And we thank God for this church. Well, we need 1,000 more like it. Amen. We need 1,000 more like it. We thank God for Pastor Hoover. We could use 1,000 more like him. Right now we can. So be praying about that and pray that God will use us as we embark on that mission. All right.
There are some things I may not know. There are some places I can't go. But I am sure of this one thing, that God is real, for I can feel him deep within. And my God is real, he's real in my soul. My God is real, for he has washed and made me whole. And his love for me is like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. Now some folks may doubt, and some folks may scorn, and all can desert and leave me alone. But as for me, I'll take God's part. For God is real and I can feel him in my heart. And my God is real, he's real in my soul. My God is real, for he has washed and made me whole. And his love for me is like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. Now I cannot tell just how you felt when Jesus took your sins away. But since that day, and oh yes, since that hour, my God has been real, for I can feel his holy power. And my God is real, he's real in my soul. My God is real, for he has washed and made me whole. And his love for me, just like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. And oh, my God is real, he's real in my soul. My God is real, for he has washed and made me whole. And his me. He's just like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. Yes, my God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul.
All right. Appreciate Mrs. Hoover playing for me. She does a good job. Amen. All right. I taught her how to play like that. Y'all know that, don't you? Yeah, right. Amen. All right. Turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 32. Again, it's good to be here with you. I always look forward to coming to Souls Harbor. What a blessing. And we went out to lunch today, and Pastor Hoover took care of me real well. He talked about burn at the stake, man. I ate some steak this morning, this afternoon, at Ponderosa was burning at the stake, and but it was good. It wasn't burnt. It was good. And so we fared sumptuously, made two or three trips to the ice cream counter, three or four trips to the salad, to the bar there. Not the bar, you know what I mean, the food bar, amen. I know some of y'all thought, oh, you went to the bar. Yeah, the food bar, amen. And had a good time. They had to take a crane to lift me up off that chair, amen. And don't amen too loud. I won't tell on the pastor, but amen. We had a good time of fellowship. It's good. All right. Exodus chapter 32. And I'm going to read a few verses there, but let's pray. Let's look to the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray you'll speak to our hearts, Lord. Teach us out of the scriptures, Holy Spirit. Do a special work in our heart. You know the need that we have tonight. You know it better than I do. And Lord, you know our need better than anybody in this room does. Show us tonight, Lord, what you want us to do and what you want us to be. Show us where we really are with thee. We'll give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Exodus 32 and verse 1 says, and the people saw... And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives and of your sons and of your daughters and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made a golden calf, a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. When Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Now turn to verse 25 in that same chapter. Verse 25 says, and when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, and this is our message tonight, who is on the Lord's side. Who is on the Lord's side? And he said, let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. For Moses had said, consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, even every man upon his son and upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day. The question tonight is, who is on the Lord's side? Who is on the Lord's side? I want to ask you tonight, whose side are you on? Who is on the Lord's side? You know, I think there's a lot of us that think we can straddle a fence. Boy, we want just enough of God so that, man, we don't feel too guilty. But we don't want enough of God to where it really shows in our lives that we're all for God. We don't want enough of God where it causes persecution. We don't want enough of God where somebody might look upon us in any kind of funny way, you see. We want it both ways. We want God in the world. We want to be God's child, but we want the world's pleasure. And the question tonight is, whose side are you on? Well, we need to make a choice, my friend, as to whose side we're on tonight. You know, the world doesn't have any problem with that kind of choice. Man, if a person's for a certain ball team, boy, that's who they're for, amen? I was joking with the young man tonight. He's got that Magic jacket on. I went over there to him. I said, boy, you better take that jacket off. And he thought I was really getting on him. But boy, you come in this church with a Magic jacket on. You ought to have a Bulls jacket on, amen? No question whose side he's on as far as that's concerned. Nothing wrong with that. No question on whose side I'm on as far as that's concerned. As far as that, nothing wrong with that as long as we don't take it too far. But I'm saying, friend, that we don't have any problem with letting the world know, friend, whose ball team we're pulling for or what athlete we're pulling for and this kind of thing. But listen to me, the real issue tonight, friend, is not what ball team you want to win. It's not some sports question, friend. The real question tonight is, are you from God or the devil tonight? Whose side are you on? Huh? Whose side are you on? You see, the Christian life is a life of decision. Listen to me tonight. The Christian life is a life of decisions. Huh? If you're saved tonight, you're saved because at some point in your life, listen to me, you made a decision. For me, it was 20 years ago in the motel room, I told you about that, where I knelt on the side of a bed and asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my heart, friend. That began for me a life in God. But listen to me, a life of decisions. It started with that initial decision to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, but it didn't end there. Friend, it continued on in every step that I made, every level that I went to in the Christian life was a result of another decision that I had to make. Amen. Some of you have made the decision to get saved, but you haven't made another decision since. You haven't made a real decision yet. Amen. Huh? Well, after I got saved, that made that first decision, then came the decision as to whether or not I was going to obey God. Amen. I was telling somebody today, man, I tell you what, I was in a rock band and all that stuff. Hey, I had to make a decision about that music. I had to make a decision about my lifestyle. Huh? And I got saved. Listen to me now. I'm not proud of it, but I didn't grow up in a Christian home. We didn't go to church, but maybe once a year or something, get a new suit of clothes and go to church on Easter. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I guess my folks thought they were doing good by sending us out to church on Easter with a new suit of clothes on. That's all they knew. They didn't know any better. I didn't know anything about it, but listen to me. I knew that there were some things that a Christian ought not do. Amen? And I started smoking when I was about 12 years old, trying to be like one of my older brothers. And he smoked Winston's. Boy, back then, Winston's was the big thing. Winston's. Trying to be like my older brother. I didn't care about cigarettes. I choked. Trying to learn, you know, every people talk about how great smoking is. Why does it choke you to death before you can finally get the stuff down? Huh? Then I've been smoking for a few years, man. Every now and then you get that smoker's cough. Our smoking really is great, isn't it? Oh, what a great thing to do. Man, you are cool. Later on, he switched to cools, man. He was cool. Oh, man, that's cool. Oh, that's cool. Oh,
Great, great habit, amen. Great habit. Huh?
I had to make a decision about them cigarettes, friend. I knew it wasn't right for a Christian to smoke. You listen to me.
I knew it wasn't right for a Christian to be standing there puffing on those cigarettes. No preacher had to tell me that. No, and listen, nobody had to show it to me in the Bible. I knew it wasn't right.
And I decided when I got saved in that motel room, I said, well, boy, say what I'm saved now. When I get home, I'm going to stop. Huh? Take about 2.5 days or so on a bus from L.A. But I said, I'm going to finish these right here. And when I get home, I'm going to stop because a Christian shouldn't smoke. I thought I'd made a decision. But guess what? Man, I got home and I witnessed to my brothers and sisters. I witnessed to my mother. I told them all. I thought they'd all get saved. And they all thought I went crazy. They didn't get saved. They thought I went nuts. They recommended me to go see a psychiatrist. Huh? I bought them cigarettes. I thought I could just put them down, and I didn't. Man, I went on and on and on with that. Let me tell you something. Then I start praying about it. And it got to be a real struggle for me. But listen to me. Listen to me good. Because some of you got a problem here. Man, I'd smoke that cigarette and I'd go in my room and get on my knees and pray and say, God, deliver me from these cigarettes. It's not right. And I'd get up from my knees thinking I'd made a decision. Boy, that last maybe a day, and I'd be puffing again. Puffing again. But it got to be a real challenge, friend. And I don't care. Every time I'd pick one up, I'd go back in my room and get on my knees and say, God, I need victory over this. I need help. Over and over and over again. You say, how long did you do it? I don't know how long I kept praying, but friend, I didn't stop praying. Kept going in there and getting on my knees before God and saying, God, you got to help me with this. You got to help me with this. It's wrong, God. And boy, one day I went in there and got on my knees, and I tell you what, I knew it in my heart that God had done something. Now listen to me, it could have been that way the first time. You say, what was the problem, Brother McCoy? The problem wasn't with God. The problem was that I was saying the words, but I wasn't really making the decision in my heart. I was saying the words with my mouth, but listen to me, I hadn't made a real decision in my heart. And it wasn't to the point where I really gave it over to God. That God gave me the victory just like that. Just like that. You say, did you ever smoke a cigarette after that? Well, I did and I didn't. You say, what do you mean? I remember sitting in the living room there at my mother's house, and somebody was smoking a cigarette. And I remember saying, give me a puff off of that cigarette, or give me a cigarette or something. And I remember holding that cigarette in my hand and looking at it and saying, you don't need that. From that day to this, friend, I never, ever, ever, and that's been 1970, about the latter end of 1975, amen. Never touched one. You say, do they bother you? It's not except the fact that they stink. They don't tempt me a bit. Not at all. Now you say, what happened? There was a decision. A decision. Now you listen to me good. If you don't get anything else out of the message, you get this. There's people in this room need this. Some of you struggle with a sin. And you think you can't get the victory over it. You think that, boy, I prayed about it and that I just can't get the victory over it. I want to tell you something. That's not the problem. God will give you the victory over it just like that. You know what the problem is? You don't want the victory over it. You want to say the words. You may even come down to this altar. You may have a room that you go to and pray about it. But you don't have the victory tonight because you don't want the victory. You don't want it. And you're not giving over. Friend, the moment you give over to God, it's done. It's a done deal. See? It's a decision, you see? Now listen to me. Listen to me. I can tell you about the rock music, man. It was a battle, man. I had to, because I thought I could serve God my way. I thought I could serve God and instead of just playing the hard rock, I'd play the soft rock. I went from the soft rock to the easy listening. Huh? I said it this morning, friend. It's unconditional surrender.
Amen.
The altar is not a place to make deals with God, friend. The altar is a place to make unconditional surrender. God, give it all up. And then I had to get rid of guitar, amplifier, rock records, and the whole shot, friend. I had to give it all up. Some of you, boy, you keep the, you know, you might not listen to them like you used to, but you keep them up on a shelf somewhere. Huh? Some of you might not wear some of the clothes you used to, but you didn't get rid of them. You just packed them away in case you might need them one day. Oh, you got too much money invested in that. Huh? Yeah. Decisions, friend. Oh, you used to drink, but boy, I tell you what. Yeah, you stopped the drinking, but you didn't throw the liquor away. You just put it in the closet someday in case Aunt Molly came by. And all Aunt Molly, you know, takes a nip every now and then. Yeah, and before you know it, you'll be nipping with her. Huh? Yeah, amen. You say, what difference does it make? Well, just what Pastor was talking about, witnessing. You know why we don't get our loved ones and friends and people saved many times? Because they've seen our lives. They've seen us lay out of church on Sunday nights and during the week. They've seen our lives! And we talk that talk, friend, but we don't walk the walk, and then we go try to witness to them, and inside, you know what they're doing? They're laughing. They're saying, the hypocrite. Who is on the Lord's side? Huh? Decision after decision in the Christian life. And you never go anywhere for God. You'll never be anything for God. You'll never amount to anything for God until you're willing to make a decision, a real decision. Amen. Stop petting your sin. Stop making excuses for your worldliness and your carnalness. Stop making excuses for it. Make a decision. Amen. Well, I praise the Lord, Pastor, in that, man, I've seen people get saved who are shacking up. Huh? And I challenge them. I say, boy, if you mean business for God, hey, Christians have no business shacking up! Amen. And I've seen them get married, amen.
Amen.
Huh? Oh yes, they gotta make a decision about it. Hey, listen to me, you're not gonna be for God and shacking up with somebody you're not even married to. Amen. And some of you parents ought to be ashamed before God if you allow your children to do it. You know, we live in a day and age where two people can shack up and live at home with mama. Shame on you! He says, my baby, I can't put it out. Put it out! If you're going to live like the devil, let him pay his own way. Amen.
Amen.
Who is on the Lord's side, friend? We got to make a decision about whose side we're on. Amen. There's too much collaborating with the enemy. There's too all out for God. Listen to me. Listen to me tonight. I know there's babies in here. Don't worry about the babies. You was a baby once too. Now listen to me. I told you folks this morning, you that were here, that when I was lost, I didn't want anything to do with God. I didn't go to church. I didn't sing in nobody's choir. I didn't sing in nobody's quartet and go stand on the side of the building and drink booze in between the services. I didn't want anything to do with it. I didn't want anything to do with it. You got to turn that fan off. Thanks, Brian. I didn't want anything to do with it.
When I'd hear songs about Jesus on the radio, I'd cut it off. I didn't want anything to do with it. And then God saved me. I'm going to tell you something. I just figure that I owe God at least as much as I paid the devil. Huh? You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about I'm saved, friend, and I don't want anything to do with the devil. I don't want his music. I don't want to go to his hangouts. I don't want to hobnob with his people. I'm for God tonight, and you ought to be too. Amen. Who's on the Lord's side? I remember before I got saved, my closest one in my family was my oldest brother and I. My oldest brother. Thanks, brother. Man, oh, my oldest brother. To me, he was the greatest guy that ever lived. He's wicked as the devil. But boy, I thought he was everything. Whatever he said to me was Bible. That was law. I mean, I'd have done anything for him. Man, just, you know, when I was a little guy, man, if he just said, come on, go with me, man, that'd be like, you know, Michael Jordan saying, hey, come on, man, you know, let's go play some one-on-one, you know, just me and you. I mean, I worshiped him. But something happened. I got saved. And he didn't get saved. You say, do you still love him? I love him with all my heart. But he and I don't hang out together. Why? Because he's living for the devil. And he don't want to hear about God and the things of God. And I'm not going to sit there and partake with his evil deeds. So I love him. I do anything for him that's right. But he and I can't hang out together. Huh? I told you I got 7 brothers and 3 sisters. My mother basically, and my grandmother raised us. Some fellows asked me about my father today. I don't know anything about my father. I wasn't raised with my father. And so we're close. I mean, I'm close to my mother. My grandmother passed away several years ago. Got a chance to lead her to the Lord. And a lot of times on holidays, man, you know, we'll gather around over to my mother's house. But years ago, Fred, I made a decision on whose side I'm on. If I go over to my mother's house and they got some filthy, foul language, video on, with people half dressed and all that trash, you say, what do you do, brother? I tell my wife and kids, let's go. Let's go. I don't stand there and tell them what they can do and what they cannot do. But I tell my wife and my children, let's go. You say, you mean? No, I got a wife and a children that I'm going to answer to God for. And I'm not going to stand there and listen to some filthy, blaspheming, foul-mouthed fool on some television and let my kids sit there and watch that trash. Not even at my mother's house. You say, you don't love your mother. Yes, I do, but I love God more. And if it's a choice between just getting along with my family and being right with God, I'm going to be right with God. Amen. And you are too. So you say, what'd they do? Well, now when I go over there, I don't know what they watch before I come. But when we walk in the door, friend, it's Captain Kangaroo or something, you know. I don't have to preach to him. I don't have to act holier than thou. But listen to me, I made a choice on whose side I'm on. Some of you would have a whole lot more sway with your relatives and neighbors and co-workers if you'd make a choice. My best friend growing up, his name was Donald Black. He and I was thick as thieves. Wherever you saw him, you'd see me, man. If you saw him or saw me, you know the other one was close by. I mean, just no doubt about it. I mean, in some ways, he and I were closer than some of my own relatives.
We were in bands together and all that kind of stuff. Did everything together. But something happened. I got saved. And Donald Black didn't get saved. And you say, do you hate him? No, I love him. But I remember one night, I think it was a Thursday night, the church I was in, we had a choir, and I was in choir rehearsal, and I'm up there in choir rehearsal. Somebody came to the choir and said, hey, somebody wants to see you outside. I said, I want to see me outside. And I went out there, and in the dark of the night, under the street light, in front of the church, here's Donald Black. I didn't think about it until years later. Man, he wouldn't even come in the church. Wouldn't even come in the church. Sent somebody in there for me. And in that dark night under that street lamp, he did everything he could to persuade me to leave the church and go on a tour with him and with that band and all the things that they were going to do and all this kind of stuff. And I just stood there and looked at him. Said, hey, I'm saved. I'm not going to do that. And I turned and walked back into church. And he went on his way. I've seen him once or twice since then. It's been years ago. He's still living in California somewhere. I don't know what he's doing. As far as I know, he's not saved. And I'm still serving Jesus. Huh? Some of you got best friends. Well, you could be a much better Christian. You could be miles ahead for God. But you got some best friend that you love more than God. You got some family member that you compromise for in order to get along with them. You may get along with them, friend, but you'll never win them. They'll die and go to hell. They'll curse you for all eternity. Whose side are you on? I remember as a preacher in Gary, Indiana, I pastored for 8 years and started out in a regular, regular missionary Baptist church, many of you know what that involves. A lot of music, a lot of noise, no gospel. No gospel, nobody getting saved. A lot of people joining the church. Nobody getting saved. And boy, I look back on it now. If my wife got saved before she went to that church, I got saved before I went to that church. And if we had never gotten saved before, we never would have got saved as a result of that ministry there. We never would have got saved! You say, what's wrong with these missionary Baptist churches? Same thing's wrong with the Catholic Church. A lot of form, a lot of fashion, but no gospel! And so that was all I knew. I knew the gospel because I was saved. And I started out in one of those traditional missionary Baptist churches. And wasn't too long after that, I was pastoring a church. Took over a church. Man, that church grew. Man, I was out soul winning, doing bus ministry. That church grew. Man, people get saved. And boy, I tell you what, I was in the Ministers Association. And then I was the toast of the town. This young preacher, man, with this growing church. And then I was the secretary of the Ministers Association. Man, I was a rising star in the Ministers Association. They'd have big meetings. Sometimes they'd have citywide meetings. Now I preach to 2,000 folks, man. Oh, more Reverend McCoy. Yeah. Only one problem, one big problem. And I'd go to some conference meetings and stuff with some of these guys and realize that they was leaving their wives at home and bringing their girlfriends. I walk into some of them's motel rooms and see empty beer cans sitting on the tables. Huh? You say, what'd you do? Well, I did what any red-blooded American person that loves the Lord would do. I told him about it. Well, listen to me. I thought I could hobnob with them and somehow change them. But I realize, and now, and I finally realize, if I stayed with them long enough, I wouldn't have changed them. They would have changed me. So I made a decision, friend, to get out. To get out! And I left it. And all that with it. And I can tell you story after story after story. You say, why'd you do it, friend? Why'd you do it? Because I'm on the Lord's side.
Amen.
I don't care about being famous. I don't care who knows my name. I don't care who says I'm a great fellow. I'm for God, and you ought to be for Him too. I say the problem with many people in this room is not that you're not saved, that you don't want to make the hard choices. You don't want to make the difficult decisions. You don't want to offend anybody. And the truth of the matter is, it should never be our goal to offend or hurt anybody. But yet at the same time, friend, the one who usually gets offended and hurt is God. See? Well, we keep everybody else's feelings real nice and smooth, but we hurt God's feeling day after day after day because we compromise. Moses came to these people in this text and asked them a very simple question. In verse 26, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Huh? Who is on the Lord's side? I asked you that question tonight. Who is on the Lord's side? Listen to me. You're either for God or the devil. You're either for Jesus or you're for the world. Look at 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 15. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 15. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 15. You got it? Look at what it says. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. Notice what it says. Love not the world. Amen? Well, some of us are so in love with the world, it's pitiful. Yeah, we are. We act like it. We look like it. We dress like it. We talk like it. Amen? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, now look at the strong language of the Bible. The love of the Father is not in him. God said, if you love the world, mark it down. You don't love God. Amen. Oh, Brother McCoy, you don't understand. I love the world, but I love God too. God says, you're a liar. Amen, Brother McCoy. No, you can't love them both. See? For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Whose side are you on tonight? Whose side are you on? Make a decision. Make a choice about it. Some of you young people need to make a choice as to whose side you're on tonight. It's not hard to live for God once you make the decision to.
Amen.
It's not hard to be pure, sexually pure, drug free and all that kind of stuff. You know, they got this slogan, just say no. It ain't working.
Amen.
Oh, the key is not just saying no. The key is saying yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes. That's the key. Saying yes to the Lord. God, I'm yours. Huh? You either love God or you love the world. Look at James chapter 4. See, some of us trying to cheat on God. Some of us trying to fool around on God. James chapter 4. And verse number 4. Here's where some of us are. Well, guilty as the day is long. Look at James 4 and verse 4. He says, ye adulterers and adulteresses. Now, wait a minute. Look up here a moment. He's not talking about adultery like a man would go cheat on his woman or his wife, or a wife would go cheat on her husband. He's not talking about physical adultery. I mean, that's bad, isn't it? I mean, how many of you men in here would be pleased with your wife if you knew she was cheating on you? How many of you ladies in here have a husband? You'd be pleased with your husband if you knew he was unfaithful to you. No, you wouldn't be pleased. It'd break your heart. It'd break your heart tonight. Have you ever thought about that God has a heart? Have you ever thought about that God has feelings too? That God has a heart too, and we can break God's heart. How, Brother McCoy? By cheating on him. He's talking about spiritual adultery. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, he says, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. You say, who does a Christian cheat on God with? The world? There's people in this room, you are more faithful to the world than you are to God. You're more in love with this world and the things this world has to offer than you are with God. You let the world tell you how to dress. That's why some of you won't dress right, friend. Because you're so in love with the world that whatever the world says wear, that's what you wear. If it's short, if the world says short, you wear it short. If the world says long, you wear it long. You don't wear it long because you love God. You wear it long because the world says that's the end thing. If the world says some of you women shave your head off, you shave it off. You don't care what God says. You just want the world to be pleased with you. See? That's what you want. Faithfulness, friend, to God. Hey, the world doesn't dictate to me what I do and how I live. I got God's instruction book. Amen. You say, do you know how to live? Yes, how do you know? The Bible tells me so. This book, the Bible, tells me so. Not some queer in France somewhere. Amen. Pierre. No, Pierre don't dictate to me how to dress and how to look and how to behave, friend. The Bible does. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Some of you boys laughing. I want to see how many designs you put in your hair. How many road maps you put across. Zing, 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 zing. Yeah, you say, why do boys do that? Because they want to be like the world.
Yeah.
Amen, Brother McCoy. You say you preaching at them boys? Yes!
Yeah. Amen.
You mamas, make sure your boy gets a haircut that makes him look like a man.
Amen.
You keep him looking like a man, and he stands a good chance of acting like one.
Amen.
Amen. The world, friend. Whose side are you on? Huh? Whose side are you on? Listen to me. I don't think any of you have any doubt as to whose side I'm on. Huh? Amen. I'm a Baptist. I'm a fundamental Baptist. Huh? But let me tell you something. My first allegiance isn't to fundamental Baptist, it's to God. And when fundamental Baptists go wrong, I'm going to preach against fundamental Baptists. Amen. I'm for God tonight, and so are you to be. I'm saying tonight that your relatives and your friends and your co-workers ought to know just as much where you stand as you know where I stand tonight. And if they don't, it's because you're a compromiser. I said a compromiser. You laugh at their filthy jokes. You go to their filthy parties.
You cooperate with their filthy ways. You're a compromiser.
Yeah.
Whose side are you on tonight? Make a decision. Make a decision, amen. And boy, I tell you, they better go further than just kneeling right here. They better go home with you.
Yeah.
When you turn that television on tonight, it ought to govern what you watch on it.
Yeah.
When you go to put your clothes on tomorrow, it ought to govern what you wear. Whose side are you on? Jesus said, he that is not with me is against me. Amen? Let me give you another passage here. I'm just about done. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 14. Second Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 14. Amen. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse number 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You see it? That means if you're single, God says that you're not to marry an unsaved person. Amen. But you don't understand, brother. Yeah, I understand. I understand that you're more interested in fulfilling your flesh than you are being right with God. Amen. But it means even more than that, too. You can yoke up with unbelievers in ways besides marriage. That means you don't join their clubs. Amen. I'm talking about the Masons. I'm talking about the Eastern Star and the Western Star and the Northern Moon and all the rest of that junk. Amen, Brother McCoy. But you don't understand. I'm a big shot. I know all the secrets. Huh? And I know a secret too. You join their clubs and you pay your dues and you help them buy the booze for their parties. Amen, Brother McCoy. That's good preaching, Brother McCoy. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Is that in your Bible?
Yes.
Amen. And what communion hath light with darkness? Is that in your Bible?
Yes.
And what concord hath Christ with Belial? That's the devil. Is that in your Bible or not? What part of he that believeth with an infidel? That's an unbeliever. Or what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, God says, and be ye separate. Amen. Amen. You say, what is separation, Brother McCoy? It's simply coming out from among them. Amen. You're with a bunch of whoremongering preachers. Come out from among them. And I did. Amen. You come out from among them, friend, and be ye separate. Amen. Saith Pastor Hoover. No. Saith Brother McCoy. No. Said the Baptist. No. Said who? Said the Lord. Amen. Amen. That's in your Bible unless you got a perversion. Amen. Huh? You know what you need to do with that perversion? What? Amen. And get you a real Bible. Amen. If you don't learn nothing else this week, you're going to learn that. You folks want to carry the NIV and the RSV What you really got is a MICKEYMOUSE. That's what you really got. It's a Mickey Mouse book from word go. What you really got, you got gypped. See, they took you, they saw you coming, friend. You thought you had a Bible. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. You know why people won't stay in a good church like this? Huh? Or they'll come to a good church like this and hear the gospel and many times hear the gospel the first time in their lives. They won't stay in a good church like this. You say, why? Because there ain't a big choir back here with robes on. Amen, Brother McCoy. Or maybe because there's not some big pipe organ up here. Womp, womp, womp. But Pastor Hoover, you could probably keep 25% more people if you just bought you a dress to preach in on Sunday morning. I know they call it a robe, but it's a dress that them sissy preachers preach in, amen. Are they too cheap to, because they don't want to sweat in their suits is what it is, you see. Just sorry rascals. Now, I like that church, but boy, it's different from my church, your church, yeah, the church you was going to hell in. Your church. Yeah. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me. I'm just telling it tonight. That church that we started in Gary, Indiana, where my wife was, I get this, I got saved before I got there. My wife was saved before we got there. We would win people to the Lord and bring them to that church. Bring them, get them in the church. Bring them down the aisle. And I finally realized the preacher didn't even believe they were saved. He told me they need to come on Wednesday nights and get on the altar and pray and get the Holy Ghost and maybe they'd get saved. It broke my heart when I realized that. These people would bow their head in their homes and receive Christ as their Savior. We'd get them to church and get them to walk the aisle. We'd walk the aisle with them and come down front and have a preacher tell them they wasn't saved. Came a time when I had to go to that preacher. I loved him like a father. Some of you are very blessed. You know what it is to have a father. I don't know what it is to have a father. I had to go to him with the Bible and let him know why I could no longer fellowship with him. Why I would no longer preach in his pulpit and come and visit his church. His only answer was, yeah, I know that's what the Bible says, but. And his final conclusion was that I had become demon possessed. And my question was, is a person demon possessed because they live by the Bible? Let me ask you that tonight. Is that demon possessed? Because you find out what God wants in the Bible and you say, well, this is what we're supposed to do. No, my friend. And so that was another choice I had to make. Say, do you hate him? No, I love him. Huh? You say, what happened to him? Well, I know at least two of his daughters had babies before they got married. Our babies out of wedlock. I'm talking about the pastor. I know at least his son, he never lived for God at all while we went there. Well, you say, well, what happened to your children? Well, one's going to start Bible college in another year.
the others will follow. So you think you're better than them? No, I don't. No, I don't. Friend, I've often thought, where would my kids be if I had stayed in that church? Well, maybe instead of starting Bible college in a year, maybe that oldest girl of mine would be expecting her first child out of wedlock next year. And when I made that choice, it was hard. I'm saying when I made that decision, it was very, very difficult.